Advanced tech, but growth slow and unequal. Paradoxes and policies. Zia Qureshi. Slowing productivity growth in major economies amid seemingly booming technology presents a paradox. Income inequality has been rising at the same time. Is there a nexus between technology, productivity, and distribution that explains these trends? Indeed so. Slowing productivity and rising inequality have important common drivers, with technological change and its interaction with market and policy failures playing a major cross-cutting role. The agenda to boost productivity and improve equity, often seen in terms of a trade-off, is positively interconnected in significant ways. It will require much innovation in policies to respond to the profound ways in which digital technologies are reshaping markets and work. Evidence of technological change led by advances in digital technologies is all around us. One must only bear witness to the increasing sophistication of cell phones and computer systems, digital platforms, transforming information and communication, and expanding uses of robotics and artificial intelligence. Technology is a key engine of productivity growth, allowing humans to achieve maximum efficiency rates. How is it then, one might ask, that productivity growth has been slowing in major economies in the past few decades, just as these technologies boomed? What explains this apparent paradox? Concurrently, income inequality has been continually rising in most major economies. The distribution of both labour and capital income has become more unequal, while income concentration has shifted from labour to capital. Might these trends in productivity and inequality, which have been particularly marked in advanced economies, be interconnected? The slowdown in productivity and the rise in income inequality have emerged as two dominant concerns of our times. Together, they contribute to weaker and exclusive economic growth, slower and unequally shared rises in living standards, and societal woes and divisiveness. In fact, they are tied to the forces behind the recent rise of political populism seen in many major economies. How should policy respond to reinvigorate productivity and support a pattern of growth that is more inclusive? This paper intends to address these questions through the analysis of recent and ongoing research. These questions are rich in import and of considerable topical interest. Unsurprisingly, they have spawned much analytical investigation and policy discussion. The aim of this short paper is to provide an overview of the key issues and findings and demonstrate how they are reshaping policy agenda. Booming technology, slowing productivity, and rising inequality. The last two plus decades have been marked by a boom in digital technologies, advances in computer systems, mobile devices, communication platforms, robotics, and much more. How significant are these new technologies in terms of their potential to boost productivity and economic growth? The answer is intensely debatable. At one end, we find the techno-pessimists, those who believe that today's technological advancements are inherently less consequential than their predecessors and simply cannot bring the kind of economy-wide productivity and growth benefits that were brought by past technological breakthroughs, such as the internal combustion engine and electrification. The pessimists also believe most of the fruit from these digital innovations were plucked back when they were first introduced, and all subsequent advancements have predominantly been incremental. At the other end of the debate, we find techno-optimists, those who believe digital technologies are transformative and do have potential to drive rapid productivity growth. Their benefits are merely subject to lags. They come in waves. Even if the advantages of the first wave of digital innovations are considered to have already been realized, the optimists deduce that productivity could continue benefiting from the next waves, such as radical increases in mobility from smartphones, cloud computing, 3D printing, artificial intelligence, and the Internet of Things. Income concentration has shifted from labour to capital. The middle ground in this debate is occupied by techno-adaptationists, those who believe in the continuing promise of new technologies to deliver productivity gains, but recognize that the realization of these gains is not automatic and can be thwarted by countless barriers. The gains depend on complementary improvements and adaptations in workforce skills, organizational structures, and policies affecting the functioning of markets. What does the data display? Aggregate productivity growth in most major economies has slowed. Figure 1 shows the evolution of labor productivity over the past 3 decades or so in the 7 most advanced G7 economies. The declining long-term trend in productivity growth since the 1980s is evident. Some economies experienced a rebound in productivity growth in the 1990s and early 2000s, which was principally a reflection from the adoption of digital innovations, where the United States was notably the leader. However, the rebound proved to be short-lived and productivity growth slumped again thereafter as the global financial crisis accentuated the slowdown. Although a cyclical element to the post-crisis deceleration of productivity growth can be observed, the productivity slowdown predates the crisis. The declining longer-term trend suggests that there are deeper structural factors at play, which may have adversely impacted the underlying rate of productivity growth. While Figure 1 focuses on the G7 economies, productivity growth shows a similarly sloping trend in advanced economies in general, and more recently, a slowdown in most major emerging economies as well. Analysis of the productivity dynamics at the firm level provides further important insights. Productivity growth has generally slowed down, except, of course, in the leading technological firms. Gains have decelerated considerably in the vast majority of other, typically smaller firms, pulling the aggregate productivity rate lower. In Figure 2, an odd pattern can be seen in the increasing inter-firm productivity divergences of the OECD economies. Rising inequality applies more broadly to advanced economies. The implication of this seemingly illogical correlation can be summed up by the following. The problem may not be the technology itself, but rather its lack of penetration. It is not so much that innovation has weakened greatly, as feared by techno-pessimists, but that barriers are limiting productivity gains and preventing a broader diffusion of innovations across firms, a finding that is more akin to the views of techno-adaptationists. The widening gaps in productivity performance between firms go some way in explaining the paradox of slowing aggregate productivity growth in light of advancing technology. One view on the productivity paradox that has gained some traction is the notion that it may be illusory. Productivity is underestimated, the argument states, because statistics fail to fully capture the true extent of the gains from the new technologies. The statistical data disregards the improvements in product quality, variety, and provision of goods and services that are proven valuable to consumers, but do not carry a market price, such as Google searches. However, research finds that although gains from new technologies are indeed underestimated, this mismeasurement can only explain a relatively small part of the slowdown in economic gains. For the most part, the productivity slowdown and the ensuing paradox are real. Concurrently with productivity growth rates decreasing, income inequality has been increasing. Figure 3 shows the trend in the distribution of disposable income, post-tax and transfers, in the G7 economies. Apparently, inequality has risen in every single G7 economy since the 1980s. In many cases, inequality has risen particularly sharply at the top end of the income distribution. Again, while Figure 3 covers the G7 economies, the trend of rising inequality applies more broadly to advanced economies. The data is more varied in emerging economies, but many emerging economies also witnessed a rise in inequality over the same period. The concurrence of the slowdown in productivity growth and the rise in income inequality is vividly illustrated by the case of the United States. Labor productivity in the decade up to 2015 averaged less than half the growth rate of the mid to late 1990s. Over the same period, income inequality, as measured by the broadest measure of inequality, the Gini coefficient, increased by more than 10%. Briefly stated, the income share of the richest 1% has more than doubled since the early 1980s to around 22%, with more than half of that increase occurring since the mid-1990s. Barriers to a broader diffusion of the new technologies are producing outcomes that are both inefficient and unequal. Are these trends just coincident, parallel trends, or are they somehow connected by common factors? The slowdown in productivity and the rise in inequality have been the subject of intense scrutiny by economists, but much of the analysis has looked at them each in isolation. More recently, however, analysts have explored possible linkages between these trends. This modern-day research finds that the slowdown in productivity growth and the rise in inequality are interconnected with important common drivers. The technology productivity distribution nexus. The mix of technological changes and market conditions as influenced by policies has been a vital cross-cutting factor affecting the evolution of both productivity and income inequality. Technology, productivity, and distribution have been linked by a common nexus. At its root, the productivity slowdown appears to reflect a growing inequality in productivity performance between leading firms and their smaller competitors. The benefits of new technologies have been captured, for the most part, by a relatively small number of larger firms. Aggregate productivity growth is slower in industries with wider inter-firm divergence in productivity. Barriers to a broader diffusion of the new technologies are producing outcomes that are both inefficient and unequal. One reason for these outcomes is the decline in competitive intensity in markets, which has kept the natural forces of competition from working to prevent a continuous rise in productivity gaps between firms. The erosion of competition is indicated by the rise in market concentration and the decline in business dynamism, as measured by new firm formations. These trends, seen broadly across advanced economies, have been particularly apparent in the United States. The share of top four US companies in total sales has increased in all of the six major industries shown in Figure 4. In 1982, young firms, 5-year-old or less, accounted for about half of all US firms and one-fifth of total employment. These figures dropped dramatically to about one-third and one-tenth, respectively, by 2013. In industries that are less exposed to competitive pressures, technological diffusion is weaker, productivity gaps between firms are wider, and aggregate productivity growth is lower. Across firms, the distribution of returns to capital has also become more disparate. In the United States, for example, the return on invested capital has diverged sharply, with the typical firm seeing only a modest increase in return, but a relatively small number of large firms reaping supernormal profits, Figure 5. Markets appear to have shifted towards oligopolistic structures, giving rise to higher economic rents. Inefficient and unequal outcomes resulting from decreased competition have been compounded by resource misallocations associated with rapid financialization. Besides the productivity paradox, the weakening of competition helps explain another paradox, the investment paradox. It can be described as the persistent weakness of investment in advanced economies, despite historically low interest rates. Part of the weakness in investment resulted from post-global financial crisis macroeconomic factors, such as deficient aggregate demand and elevated policy uncertainty. Another contributing force was the reduction in incentives to innovate and make new investment. Decreased competition and higher rents on existing capital deterred many investors. The two paradoxes fed off one another. Low investment depressed productivity growth by limiting capital, deepening and slowing the adoption of capital-embodied new technologies, while weaker prospects for productivity growth depressed investment. Several factors contributed to the degradation of competition, flaws in the patent system which acted as a barrier to the diffusion of new technology, regulations restricting competition, increased number of mergers and acquisitions, M&As, coupled with lax antitrust enforcement, deregulation unsupported by competition safeguards, increased rent-seeking, and firm behaviour showing increased adeptness in erecting barriers to entry through product differentiation and other means. In addition to failures in policies regarding market competition, new technologies are contributing to increased market concentration by altering the structure of competition in ways that produce winner-takes-most outcomes. Digital technologies in particular offer scale economies and network effects that encourage the rise of dominant firms. And globalization reinforces the scale economies by facilitating access to markets worldwide. The winner-takes-most dynamic has been predominantly evident in high-tech sectors, as reflected in the rise of superstar firms such as Facebook and Google. Whether consciously or unconsciously, these massive firms are blurring the market lines by increasingly infiltrating more segments in the economy. Digital applications, for example, continue to enter the internal business processes of diverse market sectors, ranging from transportation and communications to finance and retail. In labour markets, a similar interplay between technology, productivity and distribution has been at work. Increased inequalities in firm productivity are mirrored by increased inequalities in labour outcomes. As productivity and profitability gaps widen between firms, so did wage gaps. Wage inequalities have increased sharply in the past couple of decades, and much of that increase is attributed to increased wage differences between firms. While workers employed in firms at the technological frontier earned more than did those in other firms, gains from higher productivity at these firms were shared unevenly, with wage growth lagging productivity growth. Wages rose in the better-performing firms, but at a lesser rate than the rise in productivity. For most other firms, limited wage growth reflected limited productivity growth, although even at these firms, wage growth tended to fall short of the meagre gains in productivity, figure 6. The decoupling of wages from productivity contributed to the decline in the share of labour in total income. Most OECD economies have experienced both increasing inequality of labour earnings and declining labour income shares over the past two decades. Using the United States to illustrate, the percentage share of labour in total income in non-farm business sectors dropped from the mid-60s around 2000 to the mid-50s around 2015. The increase in market concentration also shifted income from labour to capital by reallocating the labour from the small industries to the dominant firms with supernormal profits and lower labour income shares. Dominant firms not only acquired more freedom to increase markups in product markets, but also monopolistic power to dictate wages in the labour market. These developments reinforce the effect of labour substituting technological change on the distribution of income between labour and capital. The shift of income from labour to capital had increased the majority of income inequality, as capital ownership is highly uneven. In advanced economies, international trade and offshoring also contributed to the shift in income toward capital. Overall, evidence suggests that the role of globalization in the decline of the labor income share has been more limited relative to that of technological change and related outcomes. Subsequently, digital technologies and automation have shifted the demand for labor towards higher level technical and managerial skills. In particular, demand has shifted away from routine middle-level skills that are more vulnerable to automation. Jobs such as bookkeeping, clerical work, and repetitive production. Job markets have seen an increasing polarization. The employment share of middle-skilled jobs is falling, while that of higher-skilled jobs such as technical professionals and managers is rising. Figure 7. The employment share of low-skilled jobs has also increased, but mainly service jobs that are hard to automate, such as personal care. A concurrent development has been the rise of the gig economy, with more workers engaged in non-standard work arrangements such as temporary or part-time contracts and own account employment. The supply of certain skills has been slow to respond to the changing demand. Education and training have been losing the race with technology. The paradox of slowing productivity growth in the midst of booming technology is in part explained by shortages of technical and higher-level skills required by the new technologies, which also contributes to the lack of their diffusion across economies. Workers with skills complementary with the new technologies have increasingly been clustered in leading firms at the technological frontier. Across industries, skill mismatches have increased. In OECD countries, on average, around one quarter of workers report a mismatch between their skills and those required by the job. The relative scarcity of higher-level skills has increased skill premier and wage differentials, stoking income inequality. While the rise of non-standard work arrangements imparted more flexibility to the labour market, it probably also contributed to an earnings inequality, as non-standard jobs, especially at lower skill levels, typically carried lower earnings than standard jobs. Productivity and equity, a common dynamic agenda. To achieve stronger and more inclusive growth, the twin trends of slowing productivity and rising inequality must be reversed. Productivity and equity are often seen in terms of a trade-off in economic debates. Recent research points to important correlations between the two. The drivers of slowing productivity growth and rising inequality are closely interconnected, creating scope for win-win policies. Inevitably, there are trade-offs, and underlying forces like technology and globalization will always produce winners and losers. However, policies can help balance these impacts. The strong linkages between productivity and equity call for an integrated approach to formulating a policy agenda that promotes these goals, an approach that aims to exploit the reform synergies and mitigate the trade-offs. The policy agenda for promoting productivity and equity is not only common but also dynamic. Every day, technology is altering the economic setting in significant ways. It is changing the rules of competition between firms, the nature of work, and the labour demand for skills. These changes have profound implications for policy, contemporary, out-of-the-box thinking, and an inclusive frame of mind will be required. One key area for attention is revitalising competition. Regulatory reform should aim at both removing regulations that impede competition and ensuring that adequate rules and regulations are in place to prevent abuse of market power. There is considerable scope for regulatory reform in a number of OECD economies, especially in network and service industries. The M&A activity in these economies has more than doubled since the 1990s. Given the rise in industrial concentration, the robustness and enforcement of antitrust regimes merit special attention. There is a need to rethink antitrust laws and other competition policies for the digital age, where the new technologies tend to produce winner-takes-most dynamics and quasi-natural monopolies. Once in dominant positions, firms often work to entrench themselves by erecting a variety of barriers to entry, discouraging business dynamism and further innovation. Competition policy also needs to become more global. Riding the forces of technology and globalization, today's superstar firms are typically multinationals. Similar to the progress the OECD countries have made in strengthening cross-border tax processes to prevent companies from avoiding taxes through profit shifting, there is a need to strengthen international cooperation to address cross-border business practices that restrict competition. A second area of focus should be the reformation of technology policies in order to spur innovation and promote its spread across more economies. Intellectual property regimes need to be better balanced so that they reward innovation but strongly consider the wide economic impacts. There is evidence suggesting that stronger patent protection may be associated with greater market concentration, less follow-on innovation and diffusion, and wider productivity gaps within industries. Some have even called for a complete abolition of the patent system. Abolishing patents may seem too radical a step, but a fundamental review of the patent system seems warranted. Promising alternative actions include reforming overly broad and stringent protections and creating a more accessible market for competition, which is ultimately the primary driver of innovations and their economy-wide penetration. Public investment in research and development, R&D, which has declined in many major economies under fiscal pressures, needs to be bolstered. Public R&D in basic research complements private applied R&D. Many breakthrough innovations developed commercially by the private sector had their origin in government-supported research. Public research programs should pay particular attention to ensuring broad access to the fruits of direct public R&D investment, as well as access on a level footing by firms to any private R&D incentives provided through tax relief and grants. Governments could also explore ways of better recouping some of their investment in research to help replenish their R&D budgets. Creating a new balance of shared risks and rewards in public research investment would be in direct contrast to the current paradigm in which risks are socialized but rewards are privatized. The third area of improvement concerns the investment in skills. Advances in digitization, robotics, and artificial intelligence have led some to draw up dire scenarios of massive job losses from automation, as half or more of the jobs in OECD economies are at risk. Estimating the number of jobs that will be lost to automation may be the wrong focus, though, as it only considers the destruction of existing jobs without predicting the creation of new jobs. As we learn from past major episodes of automation, when a technological change made old jobs redundant, it consequently created new ones complementary with the new technologies. The main issue is that the nature of work is changing, and the main challenge lies in equipping workers with both the higher level skills demanded by the new technologies and with the support they will need during the adjustment process. Education and training programs need to be strengthened and revamped in order to meet the new standard of skill dynamics. Traditional formal education must be complemented with new models that offer options in reskilling and lifelong learning, considering both the economic need of fast-changing skills as well as the aging workforce in many economies. The old cycle of learn, work, retire is shifting towards one of continuous learning, creating the need for dramatically increased availability and quality of continuing education. This will require innovations in the design, delivery, and finances of training and in public-private partnerships, including the necessary promotion of digital literacy to reduce the digital divide and harness the potential of technology-enabled solutions such as online learning platforms. Improving the access to the economically disadvantaged must be part of this agenda. In many major economies, gaps in higher education by family income level have widened rather than narrowed. Digital technologies encourage the rise of dominant firms. A fourth area is revamping labour market policies and social protection. Labour market institutions and social protection arrangements need to adapt to a changing world of work, a new model characterized by frequent shifts between jobs and more people working independently. Labour market reform should have a forward-looking orientation to support workers through insurance mechanisms and active labour market policies, facilitating their transition to new jobs. Advanced economies in general need to be more active and involved in adapting forward-looking policies. Reform of backward-looking policies, such as the reform of stringent job protection laws currently underway in France, has particular relevance for European economies. Social contracts, traditionally based on long-term formal employer-employee relationships, will need to be overhauled, with benefits such as health and retirement made more portable and more universally applicable to accommodate different types of work arrangements. There is currently an active debate on the possibility of reforming social security systems. Proposals range from mechanisms such as a universal basic income, currently piloted by some administrations, to various types of portable social security accounts that could pool workers' social benefits. Just this year, France had launched a portable personal activity account which accumulates workers' training rights acquired in different types of work. Learning from this debate and experimentation should help inform and guide policy. Conclusion: technology is a prime driver of productivity and, in turn, long-term economic growth and rising living standards. Technological change is inevitably disruptive and indeed achieves its positive outcomes through what Schumpeter termed creative destruction. How new technologies translate into actual increases in productivity depends greatly on how these impacts and processes are managed through state policy. Technology also significantly affects how the rewards of growth are shared, but again, the actual distributional impacts depend on how governments interact and respond. Advancements in digital technologies hold much promise. Their potential to deliver productivity growth has not been fully tapped. In fact, the rate of productivity growth has decreased, while income inequality has increased. Much of recent political discourse has been focused on international trade, identifying it as the culprit to blame for higher unemployment rates, pay cuts for less skilled workers, and increased inequality. However, the argument stands as evidence indicates that the more influential factor has been technological change. A common set of factors linked to the nature of the new technologies and how they have interacted with policy failures has dampened productivity growth and exacerbated inequality. As sketched out in this paper, there is an integrated narrative that explains the interconnection nature of these trends. To achieve better outcomes on productivity and equity, policies need to rise to the challenges of the digital age. With an open mind, a better tomorrow can be created by first revitalizing competition and spurring innovation at the technological frontier, while also promoting its broad diffusion across economies, upskilling and reskilling workers, and reforming social contracts. Policymaking will need to be responsive to a context of significant and continuing change. The obstacles are enormous and the political economy of reform is difficult, but fortunately, the policy options are not limited to a binary choice between productivity and equity. There are policies that can promote both. Policymakers should approach them through an integrated agenda of reforms.